You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Friday to you. We appreciate you being here. Got a full show in store. We're going to talk to Bo Mattingly this morning about his new radio show with Chuck Barrett that premieres Monday. Also, Christina Long will be in studio with us. We'll talk about Razorback football, what we heard from Sam Pittman earlier this week at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. And we'll end the show with Anthony Christensen on desk talking about the Razorback soccer game last night against Michigan State, a top 10 game between those teams, and it ended in a 2-2 tie. But first, we are joined by Bo Mattingly. You probably know Bo, longtime sportscaster here in Fayetteville. Bo, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Happy Friday to you.
Well, appreciate you being here with us. Bo is in the car. He is. You and I were talking a little bit earlier, Bo. I said, "What's going on?" You said, "Nothing." I said, "I know you're lying." Seems like you've always got something going on.
Yeah. We got a lot of swim lanes moving at one time to get ready on Monday with Chuck and I launching a radio show, but I'm also still doing the Hog Pod and some documentary work and those types of things. And on my way to talk to the QB1. So we'll see how Talen Green's doing coming out of fall camp and going into game week practice.
We'll get your thoughts on Razorback football here in a minute. I want to ask you, though, you know, when you shut down the afternoon show in 2019, this has almost been 6 years ago that I came over and talked to you. I wrote a long story about it for our website. And the feeling I got at that time, Bo, was that you were ready to be done with live radio. So it begs the question, why are you back?
You know, things evolve and change, and that was certainly the case then. And I've had a great run of doing a lot of other things since then that have been fulfilling. But the opportunity to work with Chuck was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. And also, you know, the time slot in the morning of being able to deliver timely information, kind of set the tone for the day, give insights and commentary to what's happening. You know, I look at the media as an amenity to wherever you live. And I think the Razorbacks are certainly an amenity to our state. And there's just not a show of record for Razorback fans that originates from where Arkansas originates, on the Hill, Fayetteville, University of Arkansas. And when you have somebody as gifted as Chuck, as talented as a radio host as he is, and somebody that loves to create content and dig in and produce things and try to do things in a new and different way, that's sort of what I've found to be really fulfilling for me. And so to work together and to be able to give fans something we feel like they don't currently have is just the beginning to some other content things that we want to do around Arkansas as well. But to be able to hear that on the radio every morning, 6 to 9, it'll be across all social media and all, you know, multimedia channels. It's just an opportunity that I couldn't pass up, and I'm reinvigorated and excited to do it. That was a 5-hour radio show every afternoon, and we worked really hard, and we gave it all we had for, you know, about 12 years. And not often do you have a chance to step back in a career and do something else for a while and then take a look and say, you know, what if we did some things this way and that way and have the opportunity to go back and do it again? And it's an exciting time for us for sure.
How will this differ from the afternoon show?
I think it'll be more of this is what's happening as you wake up. It'll be more timely in terms of disseminating news, creating that discussion, you know, almost like a little bit like a news talk format, but more entertaining. I mean, it's kind of a traditional, you know, if you're familiar with IMS way back in the day, you know, and you have a fun show with commentary and here's what's happening, but also interaction from fans. You know, when you have an afternoon show, it's like you have the news of the day has already happened. You know, if you think about a newsroom, they spend all day in local news getting things that have already happened so they can present it that night on the news. Mm-hmm. And by in today's world with our phones and social and all that, you know what's going on. And so if you have an afternoon show, like, how am I going to be entertaining and hold an audience? Because I'm not telling them things that they haven't already heard. So then it was like, okay, well, we got to dig deeper on those topics. And, you know, kind of like the 30 for 30 model at ESPN, which is, here's a story you know about, and here's a bunch of things that you don't know about it. And that was kind of the grind of doing that afternoon show every day. We'll still do that on this show, but, you know, like Monday, it'll be, hey, here's what's going on today. And then Monday afternoon, we might think about something we want to dig a little bit more in, or we didn't have a really good answer for, and what kind of insight could we bring on that topic on Tuesday? But I don't think it'll be as interview heavy as maybe the afternoon show was. We'll still do interviews, but only as they add to the show. And, you know, it's different because, you know, I brought in a lot of guests and you know, we treat them sort of like co-hosts, whether it was Clay Henry or Dudley or you from time to time or others. And, but this is more of, you got two kind of seasoned veteran hosts. So you both have a lot to say back and forth, you know, and can create discussion around that. And so we'll do some of those guests, but probably not as many.
The Chuck and Bo Show at 6 a.m. on ESPN Arkansas affiliates around the state. The show name, I want to ask you about it. But as I was reading it, I thought, that sounds like an Arkansas show, Chuck and Bo. And I was thinking, you know, for people who don't know, I used to work at Bo's show when it first started in 2007. I remember we had somebody on one time, Bo, I think it was Ralph Russo from the Associated Press in New York. And I put him on hold. I said, hey, you'll be with Bo and Dudley in just a moment. And he just laughed. He goes, Bo and Dudley, I know I'm in Arkansas. How'd the name come about? How'd you guys decide this?
Well, people refer to Chuck by just calling him by his name when they talk to me. Mm-hmm. And they just say Chuck. They don't say Chuck Barrett very often. And for whatever reason, people kind of say the same thing to others about me. Oh, I was listening to Bo's show, like back when we had a show, that's what they would say, something like that. And the name's really just about simplicity and making sure people know what it is. And so it just worked. And then I suggested to Chuck that, you know, I sent him some stuff and he's like, I'm not really comfortable with my name being first. And I said, well, it just sounds better. Didn't have like Bo kind of rhymes with show. So Chuck and Bo show instead of Bo and Chuck show just didn't really work. But you know, that's how it came about. Nothing real fancy, just part of the process of getting this together and, you know, get a logo and all those things. But, you know, he's been great throughout this process and I'm excited to work with him.
I know you've heard this before because you and I have talked about it before. Chuck is the voice of the Razorbacks. You do work with Hogs Plus, the Hog Pod. People will ask about objectivity and, you know, how objective you two can be. You've always pushed back at that, though, and said that, you know, just because you have relationships with coaches or with administrators or athletes doesn't mean you can't be objective about them. I just wonder if you'd expound on that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think some people think that if you don't share their opinion, that means you're not objective, right? Instead of, hey, maybe they just have a different opinion of me. And so, or the opinion different than mine. Mm-hmm. And so it's like when somebody has a different opinion of you, maybe you seek to find why that is. And then you use that as a reason. Well, they're just friends. They know this guy or this person or whatever. And my thing has always been like true journalism over the course of time has been A, try to be fair, you know, give the facts, be as objective as possible and not slant it to one side or another. And you can't give information if you don't have any, you know. So how do you get information? Well, you gain insight by spending time around subjects, and then you as a professional have to discern how to disseminate that or broadcast that or talk about that. And you know, could you be used by somebody? Of course. But look. People are not, it's not been my experience that people are telling me lies so that I'll go repeat them. But that's my job to figure out. And look, we're not in the news business per se of breaking news and all that. I think what we are is we're going to bring our relationships, our experiences, the things that we've seen, the things that we know about, and that knowledge brings better insight. It brings more a complete insight. And so from an objectivity standpoint, we're all going to have different opinions. Our goal, my goal has always been to try to give you the whole story so you can have your own opinion and then give mine as part of it. But I don't understand how anybody really does their job well in this business without having relationships. How do you learn things? How do you know things? How do you have any idea what a coaching search looks like if you've never spent time talking to somebody after the fact about what that was like? You know, you don't have to break the news in the moment, but how do you learn about the process and that's what relationships, and I've worked really hard, and Chuck has throughout his career, to develop those relationships so that we can give fans maybe some things they didn't know, maybe some understanding, and kind of have a smarter conversation through learning those things.
It's always a fine line that you have to learn to walk in this business, because you're right, you do have to have those relationships. I want to ask you about Sport and Story, because you started this many, many years ago, and then through Sport and Story, you know, you branched out, you started the Hogs Plus brand, you did some at Oklahoma State, I think Mississippi State, maybe South Carolina, LSU, and some other schools. Am I correct that you sold Sport and Story? You're not part of that anymore.
Yeah, we have partners in Sport and Story, and about a year ago, I guess, maybe a little longer than a year ago, I stepped out of the day-to-day operations, and Victor Vitarella, who had hired from ESPN as our COO, stepped into that role. And I just got to the point where, for me, starting the business, getting it going, was something that I really felt passionate about. But being a day-to-day operator, CEO type, in that business doesn't bring me the kind of fulfillment of being in it does, you know, like running it day to day is not something I'm as passionate about as getting it started, getting it going, and then being able to do interviews and produce shows and be involved and doing more of those things. Still really involved with things at ESPN. We produce Inside the College Football Playoff with Jim Jordan. And so I've learned over the last, you know, I've had a few life changes over the last two or three years that have been impactful to me. And one of the things that I've learned is not chasing everything, but kind of settling into where your gifts are and what brings you fulfillment because of how you were made, and when you excel at those things, how it makes you feel. And you know, strategic thinking in my lane and performing in my lane are two things that really bring me fulfillment. I feel like that's what I was made to do. And so this has all been a process for me to kind of lean into that and not really, you know, run a company that's become a little bit bigger and certainly needs a lot of, you know, day-to-day attention. And Victor's doing a great job. Sawyer's doing an incredible job with Hogs Plus. I'm still involved with Hogs Plus and the Hog Pod. Mm-hmm. Sawyer Radler, who like you, Matt, a lot of people started in that building, huh? With the radio show over time. And it's been awesome to watch him grow. He's killing it. You're killing it. We got Bart Pullman back in the mix on the on the radio show, and there's many others that have gone on to do other things. But yeah, that's kind of the story there and how that's evolved.
You know, and I was going to ask you about Bart, because I always felt like the sports talk show was so good because of who you surrounded yourself with. You mentioned bringing Clay in. You would have Jimmy Dykes and Chris Mortensen come on from time to time. And they just, but it was also kind of the back end that people wouldn't see so much. And I know that as the show went along, you gave Bart and Sawyer some more opportunities to be on the air and be voices that, that people came to know. But that back end, getting Bart there, I think is something that's that excites me for Bart. I mean, I would think that it probably excites you being able to work with him again.
Yeah, I mean, Bart is somebody that I know and trust and believe in. And you're right. I mean, I think
he's very good at what he does.
I think all of life comes down to who you surround yourself with. And I've always wanted to bring people around that are gonna make me better, because I've really just never felt like I could do it by myself. Never really wanted to. You know, from guests that you mentioned to, you know, people like Bart who can really facilitate and do things that research and you know, make things look a certain way. Like, I'm kind of all over the place. He can clean it up, make it look, make it look good. It's been a huge addition to have him, and we'll continue to have that same mindset in this show of bringing people in that have a better understanding of something than we do. You know, I mean, those are key ingredients to who we are and how we want to do things. And I've always held that philosophy and will continue to.
You're gonna have to start talking Razorbacks in the morning now, Bo. I'm gonna ask you two questions before we get you out of here. Bigger surprise of the last year, being hired at Arkansas, Bobby Petrino or John Calipari?
Man, that's good. That's a great poll question.
Use it on Monday.
Yeah, I guess they're both unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Just literally unprecedented. And if I had to pick, I would say Calipari, just from the standpoint that it seems like he came out of nowhere. We understand the Tyson connection and all that,
mm-hmm.
but nobody would think that was obtainable, right? You would think maybe Petrino is obtainable, but would the university actually hire him? And that's what made that unprecedented, is that a guy as a head coach is fired, and, you know, there's a lot of circumstances around that firing. And then for him to come back as a coordinator, that's actually told me a lot about him, told me a lot about Pittman. But then the Cal thing was like, man, Arkansas fans on that day were so proud that it's another example of how we don't have to be small time. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have to be. Like, it's a choice, and it's sort of a mantra, like, we're not gonna be. And that was an example of that. I think it really brought some pride to our state. I think the Petrino hire gave hope for football, because it had been such a rough offensive year.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Calipari gave hope for basketball and really beyond, I think. And it's going to be a fascinating year to relaunch a talk show. I know that.
I think so. Pittman hiring Petrino, I felt like that showed a certain level of humility on Pittman's part, because he knew, he had to have known that, you know, the popularity that Petrino was going to bring during a time when Pittman's popularity was not and still not is that high based on the results of last year. But let's get out of here on this. Your thoughts on the football team this year and just what the possibilities are for them.
I think they're better than people realize. And if they stay healthy, they'll shock some people. If they get beat up, which happens in a football season, depending on who those injuries are, when they occur, they lost five games last year by a touchdown or less. They had injuries on the offensive line, underperformed on the offensive line, partly because of that, partly because of youth. They lose Luke Hawes in the A&M game, you know, pretty early in the season. And then they had a disaster coordinator situation with a quarterback who was not meant to do those types of things. So you turn a guy into a drop back passer with no offensive line, it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. Having said all that, they still played a bunch of close games. So with so many guys back, and if you believe, you know, Pittman's assessment of they addressed the needs they had to in the portal and they got the right people, then I don't know why they wouldn't be better. But it always comes down to the schedule. Like, mm-hmm. It's a difficult schedule. You can be better and still not good enough.
Right.
But I think, you know, Petrino will get the most out of the offense. You can believe in that. He got his quarterback in Talen. I think they work really well together, and I think Talen's a superb athlete with a great arm. I think there's a reason. There's reasons to be optimistic. You just got to let it play out. And again, I don't think there's anything more important than them staying healthy, because I don't think they have the depth that some of the better teams in the league do. But I think starting 22 can hang in there and compete with most of them.
I feel like for more than any other sport, football is a sport where people, they think they know what's going to happen before the season, and they kind of hold on to that prediction, that number of wins that they think is going to be there, and they don't allow themselves just to enjoy how the season unfolds. And
yeah.
I never like to do season predictions, because I just like to see – I know things can change so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing this thing and how it unfolds, because I think it's going to be a better team.
And, you know, I'll add one antidote to that. I feel that way about basketball. Like, people, how far can Calipari take you, and are you going to lose in a tournament?
Yeah.
How about the fact that you're going to be relevant all year and just enjoy that and then see what happens? I mean, that's not a bad place to be.
It's a sport-by-sport problem. People are so focused on the end that they don't enjoy the process to get to that point. Bo, we appreciate you being with us, and good luck as you and Chuck get the show started Monday.
Hey, thanks for having me, and congratulations on all you've been doing and continue to do for our community and state. We'll catch up soon, man.
All right, appreciate it. See you, Bo. Bo Mattingly, starting the Chuck and Bo Show on Monday on ESPN Arkansas affiliates from 6 to 9 a.m. When we come back, Christina Long will be in studio with me. We'll talk about Razorback football, but first a word from our sponsors.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns September 23rd through the 29th for the 18th consecutive year. Watch former Razorbacks and 2024 Olympians Maria Fassi and Gabby Lopez compete against the world's best female golfers at the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, presented by P&G at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers. The NWA Championship is so much more than a golf tournament, with something for everyone to enjoy and activities for fans of all ages. Daily tickets are only $10, and kids 17 and under get in free with a ticketed adult. Get your tickets today at nwachampionship.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. Thanks to Bo Mattingly for being with us. Now we got Christina Long on set. Christina, we are 6 days away from football. I'm not the type to count down to football season, but the preseason just feels like it drags on and on and on, and you just kind of run out of things to talk about. I am ready, even if it is against UAPB, ready to talk about a game.
I know. My common refrain on this podcast has been, we're not going to know anything until we know it, and I'm ready to just know it. I'm ready to start seeing it happen.
I don't know how much we're going to know. Well, not after UAPB, but
I'm ready to – we'll start the knowing process.
Yeah, it at least gives you something to talk –
Something to look at, you know.
Something to hold in your hand.
Yes, they're not just hitting each other, and they are not tackling anyway in practice. Right. So we'll actually start to know some things. We'll have things to talk about.
You can read all of Christina's coverage at wholehogsports.com, get the latest news on Razorback athletics. We think it's most in-depth source for Razorback sports, analysis, latest in recruiting from Richard Davenport, unique stories. You can read Anthony Christensen's story about the soccer game last night against Michigan State right now at wholehogsports.com. You can subscribe today there. Anthony will also be on a little bit later to talk about Arkansas and Michigan State. We did not come in studio to do a podcast yesterday. We played the Q&A with Sam Pittman at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. What were your takeaways from listening to Sam?
I think the biggest thing, and this is not new for Sam Pittman, but every time I'm refreshed by it, is just the relative honesty compared to most football coaches.
It captivates a room.
It does.
Because it's not just a bunch of BS.
Right.
I mean, he is telling you exactly what he thinks. Look, I didn't ask him about, hey, do you think you're on the hot seat? Do you think you're getting fired?
He brought it up.
He brought it up on his own volition. He said, you know, there are probably a lot of people think that I'm not going to get through this season without being fired.
Yeah.
the honesty is refreshing from him.
Right. And that's what's surprising. And the fact that he is unafraid to address that. And he's still doing, you know, no coach is going to come out and tell you all the ways in which they think their team might fail.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to promote this team. He's going to tell you all the things that he likes. He's going to be very optimistic. That's his job. What else do we expect? So he was he did express a lot of confidence, and that was something that didn't surprise me necessarily, because, like I said, that's his job. But the way that he talked very openly about, hey, we took it from 4-20 the two seasons before I got here. Mm-hmm. Why can't we take it from 4-8, basically? And the fact that he really framed it around that and said very confidently, you know, that's why I was hired. I was hired to do this. Like, we're going to make it better. And I feel like that was the most confident I've heard him in a little while. And not that he's expressed like tons of doubt or ever said like, oh, I don't know if we can turn it around,
mm-hmm.
but just the most express he's ever said it, I felt.
He's always confident.
Yeah.
He's always been confident. Even before years where it didn't go well, he was confident. And so, you know, and I've said many times, this is the part of the year where coaches, they're going to accentuate, you know, the positives. His confidence feels a little bit, maybe not the confidence, but listening to him, it just feels a little different this year. I think he really believes he has a good football team. It goes back to what we've said time and time again. Bo said it a little bit ago. It's the schedule, right? I mean, it's you can have a good football team, but if you're playing seven other teams who have better football teams, then it's not necessarily going to look like you have a good football team, because – you know, as the years go by, all people remember are the records. You remember they went 4-7 this year or 9-3 that year or whatever the case may be. But there is a confidence there in him that it does feel like he likes the look of this football team. One thing that stood out to me in talking to him, he said, we don't have positions that we're trying to hide right now. And I thought that was kind of a telling quote.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of teams probably do, and Arkansas has in the past, you know? I think, mm-hmm. and sometimes at this point in the year, you don't know what you need to hide. So it's possible that there could be things that they need to hide. They just don't know, you know, they're confident enough in them now. There are some depth issues, you know? If you get some guys injured, then there might be some spots that you need to make up for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it is promising that at this point in the season, especially with some of the turnover that they had, that he feels confident enough to say that.
We wrote something on our website yesterday about War Memorial Stadium ticket sales. It's something a lot of people are always interested in before any game there, but you know, especially so right now as the contract there dwindles, you know, to its last couple of years. Right now, somewhere between 35 and 40,000 tickets have been spoken for. I say spoken for because basically the number they give you is going to be a number based on tickets that are bought, tickets that may be passed out to different groups. Maybe there's any number of reasons, you know, why you get this number, but somewhere between 35 and 40,000. And there's such a large range right there right now because they're waiting on some of these larger groups to say how many tickets they actually want to purchase. So it's comparable to last year. Last year, I think like 44,300 somewhere in there,
yes,
that were on hand for Western Carolina. My personal opinion is I expect it to be a little bit lower just because people are not that they were struck by Western Carolina's name at all, but they are less so by UAPB. Another item in that story that the season ticket sales in Fayetteville are at a little over 47,000, I think was the number that we had. It was 46,000. So, but the point being that season ticket sales in Fayetteville are slightly ahead of where they were this time last year. Ticket sales at War Memorial are on a comparable pace than, you know, to where they were against Western Carolina last year. Did notice yesterday two things. Number one, they're having a flash sale for tickets at War Memorial. They're as low as $23 right now, or at least they were during the flash sale. I'm not sure whether or not that sale is over. And then the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, and I learned this just kind of in passing listening to a Board of Trustees meeting last week, they are offering $20 tickets to any faculty or staff member or student or family member of a faculty or staff member at any of the University of Arkansas System Schools. So you could be teaching at UA Rich Mountain in Mena, and you could have a $20 ticket to this game.
Have they ever done that?
I don't believe they've done it. And part of what it was explained to me is that because you have two UA System Schools – going against each other, the Razorbacks and UAPB. They want to make it more of an all UA system celebration. One of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing just exactly how this looks is before the UAPB game, they're going to have the mascots of the UA schools out on the field at War Memorial Stadium. So you're going to have the Razorback and you're going to have the Golden Lion. You might have the Ufas Lion out there. You might have the Little Rock Trojan. The Boll Weevil may be there. You may have something that I don't even know about, but that's kind of interesting. So they're trying to make this an all UA system.
I can appreciate that.
Look, you've got to figure out what you have got to be creative and come up with ways to sell this War Memorial game when you're playing these types of teams there.
And on a Thursday night. I'll be curious what the actual. You know, and they won't tell us how many tickets they scan. They'll announce in the stadium how many they sold.
That's what will be announced.
So
you can get the other number.
I'll be curious, even just eyeballing it, like it won't how many people actually.
I mean, I don't expect it to be what it was against Western Carolina last year. And you know, for the opponent, the time of day they played Western Carolina, it wasn't a terrible crowd last year. You know, people were having to leave early because they had water issues within the stadium. It was a blowout, you know, pretty much by halftime. And so I understand all of that. But the Thursday night deal here is something that I think probably gets overlooked a little bit. They played more than one Thursday night opener at War Memorial. But this is comparable to the Thursday night game they played there against Florida A&M in 2017. And I think the attendance was somewhere in the 36,000 range. And I think it'll probably be something similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense.
Thursday nights, it's not that it's hard for people to get to. It's just when you have this type of opponent on a Thursday night,
yeah.
I just don't know that it really interests people. A couple of news items here I wanted to touch on real quick. Hagan Smith is going to make his debut in pro baseball tonight. He's going to be pitching for the High A White Sox affiliate from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They're going to be playing in Aberdeen, Maryland against an Orioles affiliate. So we'll be interested to see how Hagan does. All the reports from the White Sox training area is that they've liked what they've seen from him so far. And then did you see this? The Alabama football GM received a raise this week to $825,000 a year. It kind of underscores how important of a position that has become on some football staffs. They said that he was retained at Alabama after Southern Cal tried to hire him to a comparable position there. As we move forward in college football and you have the NIL component, the transfer portal component obviously is part of this, that GM, it feels like it just becomes more and more of an important position. Not everybody calls it a GM. Everybody's got their own different titles that they do that. But that is a position that I think is really worth watching in future years that may be just as important as the coordinators and the strength coach.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what other schools call them, because I think sometimes there's like hesitation around the GM because people get worried about, is college football too much like the NFL? GM is a very NFL or pro sports term.
Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised that, you know, schools like Alabama call it that, but I don't know. That's not that important, but I'd be curious, kind of what they call them, and then also the pay structure, and then also, you know, is it a one person at every school? Is it one person? Is it a couple different people with different titles who are kind of sharing that work, that same, you know, category of things that they're doing? So I would be interested to see how it compares, and then how, after this big Alabama news, how this changes things for other schools and changes their approach to this.
Because in pro organizations, you have assistant GMs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a GM office. Mm-hmm. It's not just one person. Mm-hmm. We're working on our next Hogs Illustrated magazine. You can stay on top of all the sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. Gives you complete access to our website at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. You can join now at hogsillustrated.com/subscribe or call 479-684-5509. Christine, I know we're finishing up the next magazine that I think we'll be able to show people the cover early next week.
Hopefully next week. Yeah, we're getting ready to start our weekly issues. So we'll have a new one every week of the football season. So it's a grind for us, but I'm excited about it. We've got our first one ahead of UAPB coming soon.
Christine is our managing editor for Hogs Illustrated. Christina, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right. Anthony Christensen will be on the desk here in just a moment. We'll talk about that Razorback soccer game against Michigan State last night, a top 10 matchup, the first one of the year. It was pretty entertaining. We'll have Anthony on after another word from our sponsors.
Taste, sip, sample, and discover the very best restaurants and chefs Northwest Arkansas has to offer at the Bite Experience at the LPGA, a unique culinary experience on site at the Northwest Arkansas Championship. Tickets are available Friday, September 27th through Sunday, September 29th, offering access to the best golf viewing and food and beverage samples from over 30 local restaurants. You don't want to miss this. Tickets are available for $45 a day. Get yours before they sell out at BuyNWA.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We'll end the day talking about a game that actually has happened as we kind of count down to Razorback football next week. The Razorback soccer team tied Michigan State 2-2 up in East Lansing last night. We were tuned into Big Ten Network watching this. And you know, sometimes, Anthony, you'll have these big matchups, and I've never been at the sport, and they don't really live up to the rankings. It's hard this early in the season really to get a feel for, hey, are these actually two of the best teams? I mean, I felt like watching those two teams last night, they really did look like two really good soccer teams.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very entertaining game, back and forth. Michigan State took the lead, and I think it was maybe a minute, maybe two after that Arkansas got the tying goal through Kate Doyle. Mm-hmm. It was a fun game to watch. Back and forth like we mentioned, and it was good. Two good teams kind of going at it. Obviously, Arkansas was picked to win the SEC in the preseason coaches poll, and then Michigan State was picked to finish third in the Big Ten preseason poll. There was a lot to like in that game, just from a spectator's point of view. But it was very entertaining.
It was action packed. Arkansas had, was it six or seven yellow cards?
It was a good chunk. I think it was seven.
I think it was six.
Yeah. Six or seven, definitely.
They had a player who got two yellow cards, and it resulted in a red card. And so the Razorbacks had to play down a player for about the final 15, 20 minutes or so of that match. I thought it was interesting. Jackie Manny, who was calling the game for Big Ten Network, she made a good point. Played competitive soccer for a long time. She said that, she had coaches who would talk about the five-minute danger zones. First 5 minutes of a half, final 5 minutes of a half, or 5 minutes after goals were scored. And that's when the teams, got back at each other last night. I mean, the first goal is scored, I think, maybe the 21st minute, and then Arkansas has an equalizer 2 minutes later. It's 1-1 at halftime. Arkansas scores right out of the break at halftime, and then within 5 minutes, Michigan State had tied it up again. And I think that's part of what made the match so, fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, coaches love to talk about, those five-minute danger zones. I remember hearing about that quite a bit back when I was playing. But it is, to your point, accurate. Like we mentioned, those goals kind of came in quick succession. In those periods, you can be a little vulnerable. You just scored. Maybe your focus drains a little bit. And I'm not, sure that's exactly what happened in any of these goals. But, that's just kind of, the thought process for those, like you mentioned, five-minute danger zones that I miss hearing about so much.
Arkansas plays a very physical attacking brand of soccer. It's unique to Arkansas. You just don't see it very much. It looked to me like the officials, it was more physical than what the officials were maybe prepared for or were willing to allow last night. If you have a different officiating crew, maybe that goes differently. It just felt like they didn't really let Arkansas get into their game.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a physical game. Obviously, you mentioned Arkansas does play a physical brand of soccer. But I felt like, the officiating didn't really take away from the flow of the game. There was questionable calls. You're going to get questionable calls in every game. Maybe there is, some of that. There was some calls where I was like, oh, I'd be so mad if that got called against me, on both sides of the field. But, that's just kind of, how it goes sometimes. Referees are still in early season form too, I guess, but yeah.
So you talked to Colby Hale after the game last night. What were his thoughts?
You know, he walked away, I think, mostly pleased. Obviously, you go down to 10 players and you still get a result on the road against, you know, a top 10 team, you know, early season or not. I mean, you're going to be largely happy with that. You know, he had mentioned that this was going to be a big litmus test game for them, you know, going into it, having, you know, had the success they had in preseason and then opening the season against John Brown. You know, he, you know, mentioned, you know, there's some things that he liked that they, you know, did. And then there were things that they need to work on as well. But, you know, overall, just kind of, you know, I guess a neutral kind of takeaway from it. You know, some things to be happy about, some things to work on would be, I guess, my synopsis on what he had to say after the game.
I know two goals were scored, but this freshman goalkeeper from Arkansas, Keegan Smith, who was a big-time recruit out of New York, I think, right? I thought she looked great, and to handle herself, you know, in that type of environment, they had over 3,100 people at this soccer game last night, which for college soccer, that would be kind of like the equivalent of a basketball arena that's 20,000 plus. It was a huge crowd on hand at Michigan State. I thought she handled herself well in that environment.
Yeah, no, she was good. I mean, there's been a goalkeeping battle throughout the, you know, the fall exhibitions and the opener against John Brown, and looks like Keegan Smith has kind of nudged herself ahead and given herself, you know, the edge in that starting goalkeeper battle. Colby did have, you know, he did say, you know, he still feels as though he has three very capable goalkeepers, which is certainly not a bad thing when you're going through the course of the season. But, you know, she did look good. I mean, she made a lot of really good saves. She was composed in her box. I thought she controlled the box really well. Her distribution was very good. She also played as a forward in high school, I believe. So that kind of can explain, you know, why she's so composed with the ball at her feet. But no, she had a really good game. I mean, she probably wants that first goal that Arkansas conceded back. It did hit her in the hands. But after that, you know, I thought she was very, very composed. She was good in the box, good with the ball at her feet, and made a lot of really good saves.
We'll tell you about Bentonville Glass, serving its community since 1971. It's committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can find them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. I told you last night, I feel like sometimes a tie is a win based on just the way the game went. And you take everything into consideration, the fact that Arkansas was playing a player down for a while, the fact that I didn't think the officiating was very good. Michigan State missed a penalty kick off the crossbar right before halftime, like literally 5 seconds before halftime. There was another play in the second half where the goalkeeper left the net empty and a couple of Arkansas defenders were able to swipe a ball off the line when it looked like Michigan State was for sure going to take the lead. You take all of that together, the fact you're playing on the road, I feel like, yeah, it was a tie, but it felt like a win for Arkansas to get out of there not losing the game.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that Colby will say, you know, yeah, this feels like a win. you know, sometimes he doesn't really seem like he says that's a win after a win. But, you know, it's just kind of the, you know, the mindset, and that's kind of the mindset I always kind of looked at, you know, when I was playing as well. But, I mean, when you do take into, you know, consideration all those factors, even when Arkansas went down to 10 players, I mean, you know, they looked, you know, like scoring. They were the better team for a good period of the game after the red card. So, I mean, that's a positive you can build on. Sometimes whenever you get a red card, you have, I guess, a little bit of a momentum shift, kind of maybe gets you fired up a little bit or whatever kind of cliches you want to use. But, you know, they look good after the red card, and, you know, the defense, I thought, was, you know, there were times where obviously it broke down. That's going to happen against a good Michigan State team. But for the most part, I thought it was good. Ella Riley's clearance off the line, like you mentioned, was, you know, obviously very crucial to the game and getting out of there with a draw. But yeah, you can definitely, you know, say it's a positive result.
So doesn't it feel to you like soccer games are higher scoring early in the year?
So to an extent, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, in soccer, you have to build up a lot of chemistry, you know, in your defensive line in particular. I mean, when you're, you know, getting, you know, however many newcomers into a team, you know, it takes time to build that chemistry. It's a little bit like basketball in that sense, but particular in soccer, I mean, you have to have that chemistry with 11 players on the field, and then the players who are going to be coming off the bench as well. So I mean, I think that might, you know, have some things that kind of come into it. I mean, your goalkeeper needs to, you know, be comfortable with the back line, and sometimes that takes some time to gel and to build that trust. And then, you know, from the back line to the midfield, into the midfield to the forwards, and the forwards to the defenders, and everything in between. So it takes time to build that, and I think that's kind of maybe part of the reason you see some of these games be a little bit more high scoring early in the season.
Arkansas is back on Sunday, 1 p.m. match against Northwestern State coming up from Natchitoches, Louisiana. Quick turnaround for them. What do you expect to see when they get back on their home field?
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that, you know, on paper they should be, you know, the better team. Northwestern State's coming in off two defeats. I'm not sure what they did against SMU or whoever it was they played last night. I think it was SMU. Not sure exactly what they did against them, but lost to Mississippi State and then lost to somebody else as well. So on paper, it's a game that you would think would be, you know, Arkansas would be favored in. But I mean, as is so often the case in soccer, I mean, sometimes you have a bad day in front of goal, and sometimes things go against you. So it'll be an interesting one. I would expect Northwestern State to sit kind of in a low block, which is what Arkansas has seen a lot throughout the exhibition season. So they've gotten experience in kind of playing against that kind of style of play, I guess. So it should be an interesting one to watch. It'll be interesting to see who replaces Avery Wren in the lineup after the red card, because I think that does come with a suspension in college soccer for one game for two yellow cards. So it'll be interesting to see who replaces her in the lineup, if that rule is in place in college soccer. I should know that off the top of my head, but you know, there's going to be some interesting things to watch for sure.
If you're a soccer nut, Anthony is too. I hope you'll go to wholehogsports.com and read all of his coverage about Razorback soccer. Anthony, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate all of our guests this week on our podcast, Wyatt Wheeler, Mitchell Westbury, Jason Watson, Kendall Rogers, Sam Pittman for speaking at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club earlier this week, Bo Mattingly today. We've got more guests lined up next week. Josh Pastner is scheduled to be with us on Monday to talk about his years coaching with John Calipari and the thoughts on Calipari taking the job here in Arkansas. For our control room, Blake Sutton, Spencer Tyree, we appreciate you being with us. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you again Monday.